السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. اللهم زدنا علما ولا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم افتح مسامع قلوبنا لذكرك. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم ارحمنا بالقرآن واجعله لنا إماما ونورا وهدى ورحمة. اللهم ذكرنا منه ما نسينا، وعلمنا منه ما جهلنا، وارزقنا تلاوته أنا آلاء الليل وأطراف النهار، واجعله لنا حجة يا رب العالمين. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we send peace and blessings on the best of His creation, our leader, our Imam, our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase us in beneficial ilm, knowledge that brings us closer to Him, to not let our hearts swerve from the right path. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us truth as the truth and help us to follow it, and show us falsehood as falsehood and help us to stay away from it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show His mercy to us through the Quran, and to make the Quran an imam, a leader for us, full of light and guidance and rahmah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remind us through the Quran when we forget, to teach us that which we are ignorant of, and to bestow on us the ability to read it day and night, and to make it an evidence in our favor on the Day of Judgment and not against us. Ameen. So the surah that we are, inshallah, embarking on today is called Surah Al-Waqi'ah, which is the 56th surah and is made up of 96 ayats. So we'll see how much of that we can cover today. And as we've been going through the Quran, we've been going through the Meccan Quran. This is also another Meccan surah. And therefore, as we have mentioned before, short ayats, rhythmic, dealing with some main themes, Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Risala, messengership and the messages that came through, the Day of Judgment, Jannah, Nar, the end of what's coming. So that's going to be the general theme of this. And this surah follows Surah Ar-Rahman, which we have covered a few months ago. And it sort of almost is like a continuation, and it complements Surah Ar-Rahman, and we will see how it does that. So there are certain special things about the surah that are mentioned in the hadith. As you know, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a youthful 63 years old when he passed away, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He had very few white or gray hair. In fact, they could count it like 13 or 17 or 19. And that's what the sahaba used to sit and look and say, how many gray hair does he have? So one day, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, said to Rasulullah, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you are becoming gray. He felt, you know, Rasulullah is developing white hair. So he said to Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he said, Surah Hud, Al-Waqiyah, Al-Mursalat, Amma Yatasa'aloon, and إِذَا الشَّمْسُ كُوِّرَتْ have made me gray. In another narration, he said, Surah Hud and its sisters have turned my hair gray. So what is common in these surahs is talking about the Day of Judgment and the severity of it. That for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was very burdensome. It was heavy to listen to these ayats and what it's going to be. Obviously, his hair wouldn't be turning gray about himself. His gray was turning hair because of concern for the ummah, what they would go through on the Day of Judgment and how severe it's going to be. So that's one narration about this. And then there is another narration that one day during his Khilafah, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anh, the third Khalifa, went to visit a major companion who was an expert in the Quran by the name of Abdullah ibn al-Mas'ud, through which all of the Hanafi madhab comes, who was in his terminal illness. He was very, very sick, about to die. So the Khalifa went out of respect to visit him. And he said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, should we call the doctor for you? He said, the doctor is the one who has sent this affliction to me. In other words, the only one who can cure is Allah, and he already knows. Then they said, should we set up a sort of a fund or a wazifa for your daughters? He had some daughters. He said, there is no need for that because I have taught them Surah Al-Waqi'ah. And I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that whoever recites Surah Al-Waqi'ah every night will never be afflicted by poverty and need. And there's another narration of the fifth righteous Khalifa, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, who was the Khalifa, and he was married to Fatima, who was the princess in all rights, because by that time they had become kings. So she was a princess, and they were very, very wealthy. And in some narration that on every birthday, they used to weigh her in pearls and jewels on the scale, and whatever it was, give it to the poor. Then Umar bin Abdul Aziz, one day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him tawfiq. He called Fatima radiallahu, rahmatullah alayha, his wife, and said, Fatima, Allah has given us everything. You know, why don't we give everything away? She said, now this is a princess. She says, as you wish. So he gave everything away. Everything away. This is the Khalifa. Soon after that came Eid. And Fatima came to Umar bin Abdul Aziz and said, can I have some money to buy new clothes for the children? So Umar bin Abdul Aziz called his treasurer and said, do I have any money to buy children for Eid, clothes for my children? He said, Ya Khalifa, your monthly salary has already been given. There's nothing here. So he said, can I borrow some money? This is the Khalifa. So the treasurer was also trained by Umar bin Abdul Aziz. He said, yes, you can borrow some money, but do you have a guarantee on your life from Allah that you'll be able to pay it back? So Umar bin Abdul Aziz said, leave it. He said, Fatima, tell the children to have some money. No new clothes for Eid. This, our children should know what it is like. You just take it for granted. When he was dying, his brother-in-law, who was going to be Khalifa at some point, who was very sort of corrupt, lot of money changing, came to him. He said, you know, you've really made bad decisions in your life. You have 11 or 12 children. You are leaving them nothing. Can I give them some of my money? He said, no, keep your money, because your money is not pure. He's telling his brother-in-law. He said, then they are going to starve. He said, no, they are not going to starve, because I taught them what? Surah Al-Waqi'ah. Now, our youngsters shouldn't get the idea that instead of doing any work, I'm going to get rich reciting Surah Waqi'ah every night. That's not what is meant by this. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put enough barakah in your life that you will not be needy. Number two, the surah will give you what's called qana'ah. which means contentment with whatever you have. So you will never feel needy. Oh, I need this, I need this, I don't have this. So there is a lot of qana'ah. And the meaning of all of this is to encourage us to read the surah every night if we can. Either memorize it or read it. If you read it every night, guess what's going to happen in a few months? You would have memorized it. So therefore, because of this fada'il, this is one of the most frequently read surahs, Surah Al-Waqi'ah. So the themes are, in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Al-Waqi'ah, which means the inevitable event, that is the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the division of people into three groups. Remember, he said it's complementary to Surah Ar-Rahman. How many groups were there in Surah Rahman, if you remember? Three is a guess. What were the three groups? In Surah Rahman. There were two grades in Jannah. Remember the higher grade and the second grade? And one of Jahannam. That's what was mentioned, three grades. So same, three grades are mentioned here. So three groups of people Allah will talk about, and he talks about the recompense, the jaza, what they are given. Each group is going to talk about their levels. And then that after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his power and his creativity and the signs in his creation to make people understand who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, because the main focus is that people are denying al-waqi'ah, that this event is going to happen. That there is going to be a day of judgment, there is going to be resurrection, Allah will raise everybody up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about his creative power and therefore his ability to recreate and resurrect everybody for the qiyamah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about, briefly, about the Qur'an itself, the revelation of the Qur'an, which is also what they were denying. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the end talks about death and the destination, end destination of the three groups that were mentioned earlier. The three groups are two groups of believers, sabiqun, the forerunners, you know, the people who are ahead of everybody, then the average believer, and then the disbeliever. So people of the right, people of the left, and as-sabiqun. Okay. So whenever we read the Quran, it should be interactive. Our hearts should respond and interact with these ayats. When we are told about these groups, it's not for the purpose, oh, okay, there are going to be three groups, so I will check off, you know, there are three groups, one this, one this. No, the question is, where do I want to be? That's the whole purpose of it. What characteristics do I have? Where do I fit in my life right now? So we need to interact with the Quran, reading it, understanding it, and then applying what we read. You know, it has to come. It's not enough to just accumulate knowledge. So now we start with this introduction, the beginning, the first six ayat, which talk about this event, that al-waqi'ah, that is going to occur, which is essentially the destruction of the earth, and then the resurrection, where Allah will raise everyone. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Idha waqa'atil waqi'ah. ليس لوقعتها كاذبة خافضة رافعة إذا رجت الأرض رجا وبست الجبال بسا فكانت هباء منبثا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إذا وقعت الواقعة. وقع means something that falls, that happens quickly and suddenly. إِذَا وَقَعَتْ الْوَاقِيَةِ. الْوَاقِيَةِ is the event, which is the Day of Judgment, the destruction of this planet and the universe and the whole system that Allah has created. That is the waqiyah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذَا وَقَعَتْ. When that event happens, when that thing drops, you know, when it happens suddenly. And it also implies that this is mentioned as waqa'at, means in the past tense, as if it has already happened. Because what is implied when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses past tense for future events means it is certain that it is going to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is an event that will definitely happen as if it has already happened. And it is irreversible. It's not something like, okay, it was going to happen, but it got deflected. You know, there's a hurricane coming, but it took a turn towards the Atlantic. It's not like this is going to happen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now when we use the word idha waqa'atil, this idha is used for something terrible that's going to happen. It's like saying, when that event happens, when. So it puts scare in, that's one way. Another way is if you read the two ayats together, idha waqa'atil waqia, laysa li waqa'atiha kadhiba, then it means, when that event happens, nobody will be, then it becomes an adverb. When that happens, nobody will be able to deny it. There will be no denying it. So that's another way of reading. Now there's a third way of reading. If suppose you read it continuous from Surah Ar-Rahman, because that ends with that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you this reward and that's all of that's going to happen. And the next ayah is idha waqatil. That means all of that will happen when this event occurs. Okay. So there are different ways of looking at it, but it all brings us back to the same thing, that this great event is going to happen. Now some of our scholars, Ibn Ajiba and others, who are very spiritually oriented, they look at it in a different way. This is the general understanding. He said that this can also mean that when that spiritual awakening happens to you, that event, then all of what comes through, everything changes. Okay, that's just another ishara in it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Laysa liwaq'atiha kadhiba, that no one will be able to deny it because it's happened. Okay. And this is especially for those, because while this was being revealed in Makkah, people were denying this is not going to happen. They were making jokes that, you know, how can it be that we become dust and bones? How will we come back? How is everybody going to come back? How is the system? You're saying the skies will go and the sun will go and oceans will go and mountains will. How is this not going to happen? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all those who deny will never be able to deny it when they see it. Khafidatur rafi'a. Khafad means to bring down. Rafa' means to raise up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this event will lower and it will raise. And then he doesn't describe what is being lowered and what is being raised. Means this is an open, anything you can apply to that. So the common way to understand, what most people understand, is that some people, the status of some people will be brought down. For example, somebody was very big and connected and, you know, powerful and rich and everything else. On that day, this person might be brought way down. Whereas someone in this dunya, nobody knew them. They were considered nothing. Yet with Allah, their status was such that now they are brought up. So one understanding of that it will bring some down and raise up is, according to the status of the person with Allah, someone would be brought down. There's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about a big man. Big man, both physically big, weighed heavy, and had a lot of power and thing. He said, on the day of judgment, he will not be worth the wing of a mosquito. The same thing. Because the worth in the dunya, by dunya standards, is very different than the worth of with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, there's another hadith that a person who nobody pays attention to, he has nothing. But when he raises his hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow what he is asked to not happen. So there are people like that. Now, because it's open, what else can be? So people will be elevated to Jannah, ranks in Jannah, and they will be lowered into the depths of Jahannam, raising and lowering. Similarly, we have scales on the day of judgment. Somebody's scale will be raised, somebody's scale will be lowered. Similarly, things that are high, skies gone, lowered. Stars, moon, all of that. Mountains high, gone down. Things lowered. What are under the ground, that will be raised up. What is that? Most important, the people who are going to undergo hisab. They were low, now you're raised up for hisab. So all of those things can happen because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will recalibrate the whole system according to the truth, not how the worldly powers were. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again talking about the destruction, he says, إِذَا رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّ. Rujja means the earth will be shaken so violently through its whole depth. You know, right now when you have the worst earthquake, it's a few tectonic plates on the surface of the earth. They move a little bit and the whole thing falls apart. You know, 9, 8, 7.5 Richter scale. And it's localized. This earthquake is like no other. Because إِذَا زُلْزَلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole earth will be shaken and leveled. رُجَّتِ الْأَرْضُ رَجَّ. Shaken so violently, the entire earth and through its whole depth. And then, what we look at today and what we consider the strongest things, mountains. Nothing can move the mountains. You know, you need a lot of dynamite to blow off this there. And there are mountains and mountains and mountains. You look at everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبُسَّتِ الْجِبَالُ بَسَّ. Bassa means to be ground into small particles. Things that seem so formidable, so strong, will become without any form. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grind them with this shaking. So they will come down, they will collapse. فَكَانَتْ هَبَاءً مُنْبَثًا. And they will become haba. Haba is, if you're sitting in a room where the Abdullah ibn Abbas said, where the sun rays come through, you see the sun rays coming through, and you see some particles floating in there, that's haba. What's the worth of that? Can you collect that? No. Mountains will become like that. Think of it, if you've ever been in a desert or a dusty place, India, Pakistan, and somewhere in the north, these windstorm comes, there's dust everywhere, and then when it stops, it's gone. The mountains will be like that dust, and when it stops, there is no mountain left. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this is what's going to happen. This is the destruction. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the three groups that will emerge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the angels organize things into three groups. As we said, those were mentioned also in Surah Ar-Rahman. وَكُنْتُمْ أَزْوَاجًا ثَلَاثًا. And you will be, you human beings will be azwaj. We know zawj as here, what is meant by azwaj is groups of people, not just couples. Okay. Thalatha, three groups of people. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for ashabul maymanati ma ashabul maymana means people on the right. Okay. Then he says, ma ashabul maymana, it is in wonder. How wonderful, how noble, how lucky or how fortunate and how blessed are the people of the right hand. People of the right hand, what does that mean? In our culture, the right hand always stands for something good and left for the opposite. Similarly, on the day of judgment, the people, Allah's arsh, and again we are making it like this, we don't know any idea of the arsh. On the right of the arsh will be people of the right hand. On the left of the arsh will be people on the left hand. And there will be a group right in front, the sabiqoon. Similarly, we also know that on that day, books will be given. Books will be given in the right hand for the people who are on the right. And books will be given on the left hand or behind the backs for the people on the left, because those who are failure. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ashabul Maymana, people of the yameen, of the right, these are the people who were righteous. They will be there. Their books will be given in the right hands. Essentially, these are the main residents of Jannah. Okay, we'll come to the sabiqoon, which are in the elite. Okay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa ashabul mashamati ma ashabul mashama. And the people of mashama, of the left, and how wretched and how unfortunate are the people of the left hand, because most of these are disbelievers and they're going to Jahannam. And if you remember from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his journey of Mi'raj, he saw a man sitting with a lot of people on one side and a lot of people on one side. When he looked on his right, he would smile and laugh. When he looked on his left, he would cry. And he said, "Ya Jibril, who is this?" He said, "This is your father, Adam alayhi salam." And the people on the right are those souls who are saved, who are going to go to Jannah. So he is happy to see them. And on the left are his children who are going to go to Jahannam. So these are the groups. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ مُسَابَقَ means to compete, race. السَّابِقُونَ, those who go ahead. You guys race? Who runs in a race wanting to come in last? Nobody. Any normal person in any competition wants to be ahead. Now this is the real competition. السَّابِقُونَ, people who moved ahead of the rest. You know, the front pack, the forerunners. Now, as-sabiqun, was-sabiqun, as-sabiqun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just repeats the word. The subject and predicate is the same. In Arabic, they say mubtada and khabar, same word. To tell us the importance of these people. Sabiqun, they are the sabiqun. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stresses their status by doing this. Because they were first in the race. They put the akhirah in front. They put Allah's orders in front. They competed to be first in every good deed. When there was a charitable event, they wanted to be the first. When there was some, you know, ibadah, they had to be the first. When something good needed to be done, you know, the town needed to be cleaned, they were the first. When, you know, masjid needed something, they were the first. In every good deed, they were ahead. So, سابقون السابقون, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. These are the ones who are brought near. Brought near to who? To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are brought right in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you go to a, you know, a game, or you go to a play, the first row, who sits there? That's the most expensive, the special people who can. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving special priority to the sabiqun. You will be right in front of me. People on the right, alhamdulillah. That's where majority of us are going to be. But we always, it's not enough for us to say, oh yes, there'll be sabiqun, but I'm not. No, I want to be in them. And of course, may Allah protect us from being the people of the mash'amah. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fi jannatin na'im. They are in gardens of eternal pleasure. Na'im. Of blessings that never end, that cannot be imagined. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Thullatum min al-awwaleen wa qaleelum min al-akhirin. So the people who are in the sabiqun, the elite, the forerunners, he said, Thullatum, there is a large group, min al-awwaleen, from the first, wa qaleelun, and a few from the latter ones. Now what does that mean? So some of the scholars have said this means the previous nations, they were the first nations, we are the last. There were lot from them and few from us. But the majority said that's not so, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam described essentially of the rows of people going to Jannah, 75% of them are going to be from my ummah. So it cannot be qaleel. But so some have said that this means that the early generation of Muslims, there were a lot from them, from the Sahaba and the Tabi'in. And from later generations, there's still some. Again, to tell us, it didn't say there's nobody from later generations. If you're not from the Sahaba or Tabi'in, you cannot be from. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also told us, he told his Sahaba that you are, he said, my generation is the best generation, then the generation after that. Now think of all the generations. We are 36 generations later. I mean, so much lower. But what did he say, sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He told his Sahaba, if you were to leave 1/10 of the commandments of Allah, 1/10, 10%, you will go astray. And there will come a time when the people of this ummah who follow 1/10 of the commandments, they will be successful. Because it is so much harder. We are not with the Prophet. We are not with those early generations. We have so far removed, and the temptations and tests and trials keep getting bigger. So don't get discouraged that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to put us in later generations. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to describe the rewards of the sabiqoon. Ala sururim ma'duna. They are now just, he gives us a picture. And again, these are pictures. They may not be pictures, only what we can identify. So when he talks about surur, you know, it's a bed, it's a couch, it's a throne. But what are, we think of couches like this and beds like we have and thrones like we have. We don't know the ones in Jannah. Okay, this is just the name. Ala sururim ma'duna. Ma'duna means that they are woven with precious stones, and so special things that they will be sitting on. Muttaqeena alayha mutaqab. They are sort of reclining, you know, just relaxing on these special things that Allah has created. He's talking about your furniture of Jannah. And mutaqabilin, they are sitting facing each other, and obviously they'll be talking to people. And they will only be mutaqabilin with other, you know, people who are as-sabiqoon. You know, you're not going to have any losers out there, because that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put. So this, he's telling us the furniture in brief. Yatufu alayhim wildan mukhaladun. Yatufu, those who have just come back from Umrah should know the word yatufu from tawaf. Yatufu. So going around them would be wildan, young boys, mukhalladun, who are eternal. What they would they be going around doing? What? Serving them. So some of the mufassirun have said that these young boys would be the children who died before the age of accountability. So Allah will give them that form. Whether they're children of Muslims, whether they're children of non-Muslim, because of their innocence, Allah will give them that, and they will come around just like to do that. بِأَكْوَابٍ وَأَبَارِيقَ وَكَأْسٍ مِّن مَعَيْنٍ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the drinks. He said, with cups and, you know, jugs that pour, and with what we call chalices that don't have handles, with overflowing with the drinks of Jannah. Mim ma'in, the paradisial drinks that are just overflowing. Okay. Then he describes the characteristics of these drinks. La yusadda'una anha wa la yunsifun. These are drinks, because sometimes it's translated as wine, that they will not stupefy you, they will not intoxicate you, and they will not give you a headache, hangover. None of you know this, but what we read for people who drink, the next day they have a headache, you know, they feel hungover, they don't feel right. So that intoxication ends badly if they haven't gotten into an accident or something else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, all of that is for them. Why? Because they restrained themselves from those things in this dunya. They stayed away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now I will give you drinks that are better than those. Okay. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the cuisine. What would they be eating? He says, وَفَاكِهَةٍ مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ. Fakiha means fruits. And fruits of Jannah, as in Surah Rahman we said, everything in pairs, and some Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, and as we remember, you know, pomegranates, you know, things like that, and all the other fruits, these are just names. They are not, there will be some similarity, but they'll be very different in Jannah. وَفَاكِهَةً مِمَّا يَتَخَيَّرُونَ means they will be given ikhtiyar, to choose whatever they want. So it's not like, you know, this is only, this is available, this is available, this is not in the, anything, any fruit you want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they will be choices and choices and choices of fruits that will resemble, and there will be others that are exclusive to Jannah. So some scholars have said that if you want to be a good host of people like that in Jannah, when you serve them, you first serve them fruit, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions fruit first. And then he says, وَلَّحْمِ طَيْرٍ مِمَّا يَشْتَهُونَ. And then the meat, the flesh of birds, whether they're chicken, whether they're partridge, whether they're ducks, whether whatever of birds, mimma yashtahun, whatever they desire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the meats after, he mentions the fruit first. So this is just for your information. Now, what is going to happen if you eat so much in Jannah? Are there any bathroom facilities, ladies' rooms in Jannah? No. No? Then what? Because the system that Allah has created does not produce any waste or excrement. So all the food, first of all, the food will not make you full and sick and lazy. You will not feel bloated. And to digest all the food, just a little burp, with fragrance will come out, all the food's digested. No other product. In this dunya Allah has created, what you eat comes out in a bad form. Over there, nothing. You drink, you don't need to go. You don't have to hold your bladder. Nothing like that. It's gone. This is how Allah creates the people of Jannah. So we've talked about how they're sitting, how they're chit-chatting with each other, how, what they're drinking, what they're eating. And now companionship. وَحُورٌ عِينَ. The word hur translated frequently as what? Virgins. Well, that's not what hur means. Okay, with that. Virgin part will come separately. Hur from hawra or huriya, which means something that is very bright, beautiful, and light in color. So essentially, Allah is describing a complexion. And ayn is the plural of ayna. Ayna means large, beautiful eyes. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they will be creatures, your companions will be creatures with a beautiful complexion and large, beautiful eyes. So he's only talking about facial beauty. Allah has not described the rest of it, just the facial beauty. Hurun ayn. So essentially, Allah talks about, then he will talk a little bit, but again, everything in Jannah is beautiful. What you have, what you eat, and your companions are beautiful. كَأَمْثَالِ اللُّؤْلُؤِ الْمَكْنُونَ. The example of these creatures that Allah has created, and Allah has created them in Jannah. They were not from here that went there. Yes, our spouses who were here will be beautified and will go on to, but this is a separate creation, just like those wildan mukhalladun. So Amthal, that the example of this is like lulu. Lulu means a pearl. And those who know where pearls are, do you know how pearls are formed? They're in a shell that's closed. You have to crack it open to take the pearl out, which means nobody has seen the pearl. Nobody has touched the pearl. It has been secure till the person who opens it. That's what that virgin means. Means no, untouched by anybody, other than the one who it was, or this creature was meant for. Okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used the feminine gender for them. So that's what that jaza'am. Now all of this, why? Jaza'am bima kanu ya'malun. This is not just, this is, yes, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Based on what? This is jaza. Jaza means, like we say, jazakallah, means may Allah compensate. This is the recompense. This is what is given in exchange for what you used to do. Ya'malun, what they used to do. The amal they did. In exchange for that, Allah is giving them this. Okay. So, the people, the sabiqoon, their goals, their actions, their life, was led in a way that Akhirah was always in front of them. So who are these people? Some said these are the Anbiya, but that's not, yes, the Anbiya have the highest status. But then you have the Siddiqun, you have the Shuhada, you have the Awliya Allah, all of these. So these are all people, martyrs, they are from those people, and others who don't fit, but who led their lives in a way to make that as their main goal in life. Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, again, continuing on their experience, la yasma'una fiha lagwan wala ta'thima. Now, the conversations, they will not hear any lagu. Lagu means something, speech that is not beneficial, or that harms, or that's wasteful, or sinful speech, you know. Gossip, she said, he said, this said, they did this, all of that. Backbiting, bad language, foul language, curse words, all, nothing like that will be. No taunting, like today, people, you know, they can say, this is freedom of speech, I'll say whatever I want, and they insult you, they nothing, they will experience nothing like that. So, why is that? Because they protected themselves from something like that in the dunya. These people did not participate in that, neither themselves, nor they listened to people. So if somebody wants to backbite and you say, I don't want to hear it, what happens? The backbiting stops. That guy cannot talk to anyone else. What encourages backbiting is you're listening. So I didn't say anything, but just you're listening. So what should be the attitude for our youngsters and for our adults? When somebody says something that you said, this sounds like backbiting, you should please stop. I don't want to hear this. That's it. That's what. So no, I want to tell you. Okay. Then I'm leaving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave. Because otherwise you are considered an equal partner, even though you didn't say anything, because you've encouraged it. So these are people who protected themselves in the dunya from their tongue. As if you remember, we've talked about it before, that the Prophet ﷺ told one of the major companions, Mu'adh bin Jabal, one of the major companions who we sent as a governor to Yemen. One time he said to Rasulullah ﷺ, said to him, he actually held his tongue like this. He said, Kuffa alayka hada, protect this, stop it. He said, Ya Rasulullah, will we be held accountable for what we say? He said, may your mother lose you in Amad. That's one way of saying, is there anything else that will get more people put into Jahannam, on the dragged on their faces into Jahannam, than the produce of the tongue? The tongue is the one that produces more sins than any other part of the body. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us two locks, lips, teeth, and still it's out of control. Right? So, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'wilussam, kana ta'wilussam, he used to be silent for long periods. That's the best way of protecting. So, what we learn from this is, if we want to be in that group, we need to protect our tongues. We do not. Wala ta'thima. Ithm means sin, sinful speech. Either in itself it's sinful, or it encourages people to do sinful things. And for our youngsters, now the culture is that every second word is a curse word. If you listen to music, the lyrics, every single word is a bad four-letter word. Okay? This is not what Muslims, we do not listen to that. Listening to that is also forbidden. And we don't talk like that just to look like the rest of the people. Okay? So we should be very careful about our mouths, because today the mouths of people have become worse than toilets. Young Muslims, you can hear them. Why are they, the mouths worse than toilets, sisters? Why are they worse than toilets? Any idea?
Please, you can drain the toilet.
You can flush the toilet. You can flush the toilet, but these mouths you cannot stop. Okay. So what will be said to them? They won't hear any of those, no sinful speech, you know, no lagu. What they will hear, illa qilan salaman salama. They will only hear, what does mean salam and salama? There's no conversation except assalamu alaikum, walaikum assalam, assalamu alaikum. No. What does salam mean? Everything that gives you peace, that is protected, that's not harmful, that's salam. So only beautiful things will be said. Things that make you feel good will be said. Nothing disgusting. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the next ayah 27 to 40. He talks about the next grade of believers. The ashabul maimana or ashabul yameen means the same thing. Wa ashabul yameeni ma ashabul yameen. The people of the right hand, as we talked about, these are the believers. And he says, ma ashabul yameen, it's just to stress the importance that how fortunate or how blessed are the people of the right. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us elsewhere in the Quran that these are believers, that believers are of three different categories. Okay. Because not everyone is going to be Ali ibn Abi Talib or Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. You know, some of us are sinners. Most of us are sinners. We are weak. Sometimes we are good. Sometimes we are not so good. So it's a mixed bag. But yet we are believers, right? We make mistakes. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Fatir. He says, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدْ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then we gave the book, the Quran, as an inheritance to those who istafayna, who we chose. So the believers are not, okay, I am a Muslim. Allah chose you to be a Muslim. Allah is the one who gave you that hidayah. Min ibadina, from my servants. He says, for minhum zalimun li nafsi, among them, among the believers, those who do zulm on themselves. Who does zulm on themselves? By committing sins. So believers can commit sins, yet they are still believers. Okay. Wa minhum muqtasid, who are in between. Most of them, they do, you know, all the faraid, they stay away from the major sins. They are, you know, like an average good believer. Wa minhum sabiqul bil khairat, and those who race and compete with each other in good deeds. This is the sabiqun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that there are these three categories, and that's what we have here. The second category. So this second category, Ashabul Yameen, will include those who have done dhulm against themselves, Muslims who make mistakes, who sin, and those who do mostly good, but they're not the sabiqun, which we've already talked about. So, in this would be those who are dhalim li nafsihi, by sinning, who do dhulm on their nafs, the muqtasid, who are sort of average good Muslims. You know? Average good Muslim today, who is an average good Muslim, you know, by our standards. Oh, mashallah, he is like a wali. No, he's not a wali. He's like a very ordinary person. Okay? Because our standards are big. Anybody who knows a little bit of Quran, oh, he's hafiz. No, he's not hafiz. Oh, he's an alim. He went 7 years in school. You go 7 years in school, what do you come out with? Seventh grade, how much do you know? Nothing. Alim. Because we become so... Anybody who gives a lecture, he's a scholar. No, he's not a scholar. He's a student. Our standards have become so low. Okay? So, we shouldn't be elevated. MashaAllah, you did Hajj. Hajj. And they give title Al-Hajj. It's the fard. Basic. Basic. Right? So, we should be a little careful with these things, that the grades that we give are sort of not proper. So about this group of believers, fi sidrim mahdood, they are among gardens that have this tree of sidr. Now, again, the name of sidr is common here because in Western Arabia you have these trees that are called trees of sidr. In fact, sidr is used in the water to give it a sweet aroma when we wash the dead bodies. And the sidr that are in Arabia have a lot of thorns. So one Bedouin came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah has put things in Jannah which will cause harm. He said, what is it? He said, he's put sidr. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fi sidrim makhdood, he has put sidr. Makhdood means whose thorns have been removed and have been replaced by fruits and beautiful flowers with sweet aroma. So the name is the same, but and resembles, but it's, so they'll be among, in the English translation, they call them lote trees. I never know what a load tree is, but if you want a name, it's a load tree. So this is the image. Wa talhim mandood. Talh, some of the scholars have said, are plants with big leaves. Do you know plants with big leaves? Anybody? Bananas and plantains. Now, what do the Arabs know? Because there's nothing like that that grows there. In the deserts or in the Hijaz, there are no bananas. Then why this example? Because they are trees like that grow in Yemen. So they knew about these things. Okay, by the way, Yemen, you sound anything like Yameen? Yemen, remember the right? Yameen and Shimal? Yeah. Everything to the right of Mecca, that's how the name Yemen came. Is all of that was Yemen. And everything above and to the left of Mecca is from Shimal, Sham. Okay, that's how those names came. So they knew about this. And they said, so there will be leaves. Again, they're not saying they're banana trees. They're something that looks like that. Mandood means they are very tightly packed with fruit, with different types of things that, you know, any kinds of fruit. And what else? Well, dhillim mamdood. Dhill means shades. Now, what does a shade mean? So if you were in the picnic on was Saturday at ISWM, everybody was looking for the shade. Why? Because it gives you a nice, comfortable place. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He has put shades in there. The purpose is for regulation of how much light you want so that I don't get too burnt and I don't get too hot. In Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created shades. So there is shade. Now the shade can be shade of a tree. But in this experience of the dunya, anything that, any shade comes from an object. If there's no object, there's no shade. The clouds have to come to bring a shade, right? A tree has a shade, the house has a shade. Over there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create shade without any object. Okay. But there is also shade of the tree because it's mentioned in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith. He said, in Jannah there is a tree. And if you have a fast Arabian horse that races, a person, rider riding it fast, non-stop, for 100 years will not cross the shade of the tree. Just to give you an idea of space and time. So there is shade. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that they'll be sitting. And shade also means ease, comfort, security. وَمَاءٍ مَسْكُوبٍ. Ma, water that's poured of Jannah. That is maskub, that is gushing, that is flowing. And over there, the laws of surface tension don't apply. So it's not like water. Water is going to be running like this. There are no tracks. You know, there's no passages in which water has to go down. And water can be running up like this. Can you imagine water going like this? It doesn't, because we have surface tension which makes it like this. But over there, and it will be going anywhere. And the beauty of it is, if you're sitting there and it's going there and you wish that it turned that way, it will turn that way. Okay. And we know 4 different sort of rivers of Jannah have been mentioned. What are they made of? Milk, honey. Water. Alcohol. Don't say alcohol. It's translated as wine. Translated as one, but one that la yunzifun wa la yunzifun doesn't give you headache, hangover, or intoxicant. Mufakihatin kathira. Fakiha, same, fruits, kathira. Unlimited. Not like in this life. La maqtu'atin wa la mamnu'a. No, they are not something that can maqtu, that stop. So, okay. I want to have mango. Mango season is over, finished. There is no season. Anytime you want, as much as you want. Wala mamnu'a. It is not forbidden for you, like it was for Adam alayhi salam. In this dunya also, you know, you say, I've got diabetes, I can't eat so much mango. No problem. Eat as much as you want. So you will not be limited. Oh, I can't afford this fruit because they're charging so much. There's no financial restriction. There's no physical limitation. There is no health limitation. Eat. Enjoy. Allah is the host. Wa furushim marfu'a. Again, those raised couches, furush, marfu'a, elevated with their companions. Again, it was mentioned, hurun ayn. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not used the word, but same implication, because he goes on to say, inna ansha'nahunna insha'a. We have created them, hunna, again, female gender, perfectly, insha'a, as Allah wanted, a new creation. Again, talking about those companions that we mentioned before as hurun ayn. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a creation that is very special. Faja'alna hunna abkara, and we have made them abkara, untouched. That's where the word virgin comes in. Okay, and the word virgin is not restricted to women, because a man can be a virgin, he's untouched, and a woman can be a virgin, so don't take it in that. Means pure. Uruban atraba. Uruban means full of love, exclusive love for their spouse that Allah has paired them with. Atraba, same, equal in age, which is about 33 years, prime of age, never getting older, never aging, never sagging, face doesn't droop, no wrinkles, no nothing.
No Botox.
No Botox. Use all the Botox here if you want. But if you don't use Botox here, then Allah will give you better. They say, you were happy with what I gave you? Okay. But if you use it, you can get a fatwa on that from people. I'm not giving you that fatwa. فَجَعَلْنَا هُنَّ أَبْكَارًا أُرُبًا أَتْرَابًا لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ, for the people of the right. لِأَصْحَابِ الْيَمِينَ ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ, a large group from the early. وَثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ, a large group from the latter, people who come after. So that's where the majority of us look like we are going to fit. But our goal should be, inshallah, if we are there, alhamdulillah, these are all people of Jannah. But we shouldn't be satisfied with, okay, I've entered the lowest level, I'm good, good to go. Yes, you're good to go, but yeah. When you see people above, then, So let us all, what is meant by this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is describing this. He didn't have to describe the sabiqoon to encourage us positively. There is a higher grade. There is a higher grade. You want an A+. You want more than 4.0 average. You have some extra. We strive for this. That's where we need, extra credits with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now comes the other group. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from that, of disbelievers. Wa ashabu shimali ma ashabu shimal. The people of the left. And how wretched are the people of the left. Fi samumu wa hamim. Samum means hot winds. We experience hot winds in some countries. When the temperature is 120 degrees, 130 degrees, even 140 degrees. And you see that, I remember when I used to take my bicycle going to medical school in the month of June, you came out of your house, it was like somebody slapped you in the face, the wind was so hot. They give you an idea that, look, what's ahead, so prepare for it. So, samum is that hot, fiercely hot wind that just burns, the wind burns. Wahamim, and when you have that heat, what do you like? Cold water, not just water, cold water. But you have hamim, boiling water. Boiling, scorching water. You want coolness from this wind? You drink, it will burn you inside. وَظِلٍ مِّن يَحْمُومٍ. ظِل, again, shade. But shade of what? Shadow of what? Black smoke. يَحْمُومٍ. Can you imagine? Even the air is polluted with smoke, black. Hot winds, black smoke, because that's what's burning. And what's the fuel of Jahannam? What's making all this come out? That's black smoke is coming from what? Stones and humans and jinns that are burning there. This is what is coming. And they don't finish. La baridun wala kareem. Nothing cold. nothing that will refresh or soothe in them. Innahum. Now the characteristics. Why are they in this situation? Does Allah like to punish his ibad? No, he doesn't. But he has his justice. Innahum kanu qabla dhalika mutrafeen. Because indeed these are those who before they used to indulge in every kind of luxury and pursuit of their pleasures, regardless of what Allah said. They were too much into this enjoyment of the dunya. Halal, haram, doesn't matter. This is what they used to do. So we have to be very careful. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe for us. Yes, you can enjoy it within the limits. And the limits of Allah let you enjoy only good things. All the things He has forbidden are things that are harmful for you. And you look at these people who are enjoying. They're enjoying, what they call enjoying, is always something haram, and they suffer the consequences of it. Whether it's broken families, whether it's suicides, whether it's drugs, whatever it is, they're enjoying. Okay. So that's the characteristics of those people. وَكَانُوا يُسَرُّونَ عَلَى الْحِنْثِ الْعَظِيمِ. And they are people who used to persist, hins al-azim, in the greatest of sins. The greatest of sin, of course, is shirk. Then you have major sins like murder, you know, like stealing, backbiting, cheating, riba, all of those things that they used to, yusurruna, they used to persist and they used to be in there, into that, just to go ahead in the dunya in their way. This is the characteristic of the people of Jahannam. And when they were reminded, what did they do? Like the Quraysh, وَكَانُوا يَقُولُونَ أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَإِذَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ أَوَآبَاؤُنَا الْأَوَّلِينَ. They used to say, when they were reminded that this is coming, live within the limits of Allah, they used to say, when we die and we become dust, turaban and idhaman, bones, will we be, inna lamabu'uthun, will we be resurrected again? We and aba'un al-awwalin, our forefathers that have gone before us. In other words, they denied that this would ever going to happen. So they said, this is our life, let's enjoy. You know, you only live once, let's enjoy. Okay? So this is what happens. This is the characteristic. So when this is a question they ask, will we be raised again? Can this happen? And they were not really looking for the answer. This was just to ridicule, to make fun. Okay. They didn't believe it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to those questions. Qul, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them what? Inna al-awwalina wal-akhirin. Certainly, the first and the last. You will be resurrected. لَمَجْمُعُونَ إِلَى مِيقَاتِ يَوْمٍ مَعْلُومٍ. You will surely be gathered, majma'una ila miqat. You know miqat, when we go, miqat, the appointed place, a meeting place, on a known day, yes, you will be resurrected. You think it's not gonna? Yes, you will. And then what will happen? Thumma innakum ayyuha dhalun al-mukadibun. Then you who are dhalun, the misguided, mukadibun, who denied, who said, no, this is not gonna happen, who denied the truth, لَآكِلُونَ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مِنْ زَقُّومٍ. You will eat, لَآكِلُونَ, you will certainly eat from the tree of Zakum. And the tree of Zakum grows from the pit of Jahannam. And it's a special tree which survives all that fire. And it produces fruit. Fruit. But what are the fruit like? They're shaped like the heads of shayateen, and they're like grenades, because first of all they're full of thorns, and they will eat it because there is nothing else to eat, and Allah will turn up the hunger that in spite of this, and they're full of thorns. Can you imagine? You see thorns sticking out, you still eat it, so it tears you inside, and when it goes inside it explodes, so everything pops out, and then repair, start again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will eat from the tree of Zakum. It's not like, oh, I'm not going to bother with that. Yes, you will, because there is nothing else for those people. فَمَالِئُونَ مِنْهَا الْبُغْتُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, not only will you eat, with it you will fill your stomachs. Because that's the only thing. and the more, and this is all it's going to be doing. I mean, today we get a little bit of stomach ache, you know how uncomfortable you become, you know, running to the hospital. There's no hospital there. There's no ambulance that's going to come, you know. There's no gastroenterologist who's going to come and take care of this buton that is filled with zakkum. Okay. Then what will you do? That's your food, zakkum. Not yours, the people of disbelievers. فَشَارِبُونَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْحَمِيمِ. And then on top of, you will drink, because we are used to drinking after we eat. Hamim, same, boiling, scorching water that will boil, which will burn you inside. فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْحِيمِ. So, oh no, we are not going to drink that boiling water. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَشَارِبُونَ, you will drink شُرْبَ الْحِيمِ, like thirsty camels drink. That's what you will do still. And the other drinks, of course, we know. You know, boil pus and, you know, all of that stinking stuff that's there. فَشَارِبُونَ شُرْبَ الْحِيمِ. هَذَا نُزُلَهُمْ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ. This is the welcome. This is the entertainment on that day for the disbelievers. So this is this section. Since it's been an hour, I think we will stop here and we will complete this surah from ayah 57 to 96, which then talks about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the next session, instead of continuing this. And we will inshallah open this up for any questions and comments. And I want to hear lessons from what we have covered so far in the first 56 ayats. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.